You know what I'm going to say, because the trips are almost all the same, so I'm going to run through the usual stuff quickly and then talk about a special group of people I work with. Next slide. Of course, I go because God told us to go and make disciples of all nations, and I go. God said, love him and love your fellow man, and I go and I distribute eyeglasses. Because I love him, I go and I distribute eyeglasses to his people. And we also distribute literature and talk with people. Sometimes we talk with people. Kind of depends on the group. Of course, we distribute eyeglasses. We also give them lens cloths and eyeglass cases. And we also give them all evangelistic literature. We're talking about Israel now they're the countries. And of course, the evangelistic literature and talking to the people is the most important thing. Next slide. There were differences between this trip and the last one. The last one, I got stuck and had to come out through Jordan because of the war between Israel and Iran. This one, I managed to hit another deer on the way to the airport, which shortened my trip. And these are the kinds of things that we need prayer for, in addition to giving us the wisdom on taking care of the people and talking to them and distributing evangelistic literature. It was a successful trip. It was shorter than most, but it was still successful. Next slide, please. Most of the time, we will go and we will, the group that we're working with will register the people, and then they'll wait and they'll come and see us, and we'll give them prescription glasses and sunglasses, and then we'll give them a baggie with the stuff I described earlier, including evangelistic booklets. But I just want to talk briefly about the group I really like working with the most. It's called Spring of Life Church, and it's in downtown Haifa, and it's extremely evangelistic. I spend about 3 days every trip with these guys, and I love working with them. Go back one slide. And the reason I like working with these guys is they're so evangelistic that after they register somebody, the people are waiting for a pair of glasses. And these guys talk with everybody at length about Jesus Christ. And this is a lady witnessing to this guy waiting to get a pair of glasses. I just love this. Wish I could do it myself, but I'm too busy doing other stuff. Next slide, please. And then they come and see us, and we give them a pair of prescription glasses. Normally, we would give them the glasses in the bag, and they full of stuff, and they would leave. But then after they see us, they go to another spot. Next slide. Another thing I wanted to say is, we take care of everybody. Everybody's important. But I really love taking care of people who really need high-strength glasses. And this lady, it doesn't show very well in this slide, but she needed a pair of minus 10s. It didn't completely help her to see, but it improved her eyesight beyond what she had. I can't remember if she had 11s or 9s, but they helped her a lot more than her current glasses. And then we also gave her a pair of minus 7s, which are for reading. So she got both distance and reading glasses. Next slide. And one thing that's become very popular over there are fit-over sunglasses. 70% of the sunglasses that we give away are fit-overs, and she has on fit-overs that fit over the minus 10s that you saw earlier. Next slide. And then, we would give them a bag and they would normally leave, but In this particular church, they have a table that's in the background where they give away the sunglasses, and then the people are, they've been talked to, and in the foreground is a book table. And we saw probably about 150 people, and they gave away conservatively 150 books. Now, the tall stack in front and the one just behind it, those are Bibles. And they gave away 30 Bibles to non-believers. This is just amazing. Next slide. We went to six cities. This time we went back to Jerusalem, which is a real pain to drive in and to get in and out of the city. But I spent 4 days there, and I love working with those guys as well. Most of them were non-believers, but they knew who we were, and they were very receptive to talking with us and letting us talk with the people that we served. We also went to five other cities. Sometimes we go to about this many cities. One trip we went to about 25 cities, but this was fairly short trip, and that's all we had time for. Next slide, please. Summary was we saw about 550 people, and we gave away about five pair of prescription glasses for every four people we saw. We gave away sunglasses to 90% of the people, because it reduces the growth of cataracts and it helps you live with other eye diseases. It doesn't cure the other eye diseases, but it makes it easier to live with. Of course, we gave away literature to almost everybody, and we were there. We did 14 clinics only in six cities, but we were time constrained, so that's what we did. Now, I also want to talk a little bit about, when I say pray for us, next slide, please. I just want to talk about some of the people that I work with every trip. Now, this is my point of contact. He had actually extended, you know, most of the Israeli military, they're reservists. They don't have a large standing military. They're almost all reservists that gets called up, and he's a reservist. He actually extended an extra year or so, and he should be out of the military because he's over 40 now by the end of the year. His name is Luke, and he's my point of contact that sets up everything that needs to be done, including the scheduling me for the places I go to. Next slide. The guy sitting there with the lady, his name is Bibi. It's not Bibi Netanyahu. It's a different Bibi. And he sometimes helps me out with a lot of stuff. Helps me out with driving. Sometimes he'll be with me and will interpret for me with people that have especially difficult eye problems. It speeds things up a lot. My Russian is not that good. I can take care of easy cases, but the harder they get, the longer it takes. And he also is evangelistic, and he'll talk to people about Jesus Christ and make comments. And he also gives me advice on what I can and cannot do to keep me out of trouble with the authorities. Next slide. This is a doctor. I'm with Dr. Ella. We're reading a prescription. Neither one of us reads Hebrew, trying to figure out what to do. And she's a retired ophthalmologist from Ukraine. The other guys were all from Poland. But she loves working with us. And every time we get up to Haifa or to any of the cities close to Haifa, she works with us. And it's I really love working with her as well, because she can take all the difficult guys, and I can move on with the easy ones. Next slide, please. Now, the guy in the black shirt is the guy that runs Spring of Joy Church. He's amazing. His name is Sergey. And they got, in addition to stuff like what we're doing, they got a lot of other stuff. They run bus trips and meals and do meals for people who are immigrants. They do art, various kinds of art, arts and crafts stuff, and people will come, and it gives them, just like it gives them an excuse when I come and distribute eyeglasses, they distribute, or they talk to people who are interested in art and talk to them about Christ. They've just got stuff going on all the time. The lady in white, they're both witnessing to people. The lady in white is Valentina. I can't remember where she's from, either Russia or Ukraine. But she also witnesses a lot when we're there at the church. Next slide, please. And the lady on the young lady on the right side, or the left side for you. She is another immigrant from Russia, from Moscow. Amazing, because she, when they need, I can do about 25 to 30 people a day. When they say they want us to do 50 or so, she comes and helps me out. She works for the ministry, and she speaks, in addition to Russian English, she speaks Hebrew, so she can take all the Hebrew speakers as well. Next slide, please. So when I say, please pray for us, these are some of the people that you guys are praying for if you pray for us. And I just want to thank you for that. We've already got the next trip set up, which is from January 23rd to March. The middle of March. It's about 7 weeks, and it's going to be our normal winter trip, which is going to be 2 weeks of wheelchairs and eye clinic, and I'll run the eye clinic, a week to Muslims in Jericho, and a week to Jews in Israel proper. In this case, it's going to be a place called Lod, and I just spent 3 days there. They were the last guys I saw on this last trip, and I said, "Are we going to need will we be busy or not distributing eyeglasses?" They said, "We got hundreds of people that want to see us, so we're going to be busy, and so we'll see about 800 people in both places, and then the team will come home, and I'll be a Lone Ranger again, and I'll see about another 800 people. We're in cities wherever they tell me to go, they schedule me for the guy in the uniform, Luke. But we need to take a bunch of glasses, and so I need immediate prayer to select what glasses to take, get them packed, and then we need to pack them in suitcases and mail them from Pennsylvania. So I'm going to be gone for about a week and a couple of weeks, getting those mostly sunglasses, those glasses mailed to the team. There will be about 22 people on this team, probably about 7 of them on the eye team and 15 on the wheelchair team. But we need to get all these glasses mailed for people to take on the trip. And so I need some prayer for that, for immediate prayer. And then I'll tell you in January what the rest of the needs are before I leave on the next trip. So again, and I can never emphasize this enough. You guys who pray for us, you don't know, you are part of the team. And it's really, really important that you guys do, because of stuff like hitting deer, praying, witnessing to people, winding up in the middle of a war, whatever. So I just want to thank you again, and we're going to request prayer next time in about a month. In about 6 weeks or so. So again, thank you.
Let's pray with Bruce. Lord, I thank you for Bruce's service and his heart for you. And I know he's got a lot of planning he's just laid out for us. Help all the people that are working together to put these materials together to ship, and prepare Bruce for the time he's going to serve there, and all the transportation and other things that are going to be going on that need to put in line for this to occur. We just commit him to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks.
And Gary is going to come up and speak to us now.
Hello. It worked. That's awesome. I'll do something to screw it up before I'm done, I'm sure. Well, Bruce, thank you very much. It was a great presentation, and the courage that God gives you to do this is off the charts as far as I'm concerned. I'd be so scared I'd be in a closet shaking somewhere. Don't take me. Don't make me go. All the respect and that you follow God's leading is unbelievable. So looking forward to hearing from you in January when you get ready to cast off again. Well, this is, because Bruce was here, this is going to be kind of a short and sweet one. I'm not really good at this, if you want me to be honest with you. I never finished speech in high school. But I was good in debate. So I debated with a speech teacher to kick me out. But thank God. I mean, the Lord calls you. You got to go. You got to do what you got to do. But this is not the easiest thing for me to do. I love doing emceeing an event. I did the Chamber of Commerce Champions event 10 years. All that where you can just kind of freewheel. But when you got to put some things on paper, sometimes I struggle a little. But that's enough of that. The sermon is titled, A Grateful Heart and Count Your Blessings, which I thought was very appropriate for this time of year, Thanksgiving. So a grateful heart is one that sees God's hand in every blessing. Gratitude aligns our focus with God's goodness and away from life's distractions. Honoring God with thanksgiving means acknowledging his provision, his grace, and faithfulness in every season. We need to be thankful in every season. So let me ask you this. How often do we pause to truly honor God with a grateful heart? It says turn the page. All right. You know, life gets busy. Challenges weigh heavy. I know I've been there more times than I'd like to think with the heavy challenges. And sometimes it's hard to remember to say, thank you, Lord. But when we are in the tough times or in the great times, we need to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Gratitude isn't just a polite response. It's an act of worship. And we need to keep that in our mind. Psalm 107:1, I think Becky's pulling that up. Yes. Says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Notice that it doesn't say, give thanks when things are going well. And that's a great line. We got to be thankful all times, not just when things are going well. So it says also, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God's goodness is constant, even when life is not. And I know we've all been there. But God's goodness is constant, even when life is not. When we cultivate a grateful heart, we acknowledge that everything we have is from Him. Your family, your health, your ability to wake up each day. Sometimes I'm really thankful for that. Things are blessings from the Father. But honoring God starts with recognizing Him as a source of all good things. That's pretty plain and simple. I think we can all understand that. But how do we do this in practice? First, by speaking gratitude out loud. Tell God, thank you. And I know I do. Sometimes I'm out in the field or, you know, mowing a lawn or doing something and talking with God, and I do say thank you. But we want to cultivate a grateful heart, and we acknowledge that everything is from Him. So we want to say thank you, and we want to recognize Him as the source of all good things. But how do we do this in practice? First, by speaking great, tell God, thank you. I know I just overran that twice. I want to make sure you heard it. Second, by showing gratitude in action, helping someone in need. We're good at that here at Stutz. Share God's love with others. And third, by living with contentment. Now, out of everything I just said right there, that's the hardest one for me, is living with contentment. I can find a way. My mom was the same way. She used to accuse me of this, but I said, you had me. But she used to call me her little worry wart. And I was her little worry wart. I worry about it to this day. I worry about everything. But trusting God, and God has given us enough for today. We just need to trust. We need to remember gratitude isn't just for Thanksgiving. I like this. It isn't just for Thanksgiving, but it's a lifestyle. And when we honor God with our thanksgiving, He fills our hearts with joy and peace. Let's be people who live with grateful hearts, not just for what God has done, but for who He is. And this counting the blessings, this goes hand in hand with a grateful heart as far as I'm concerned. And counting blessings keeps us mindful of God's provision and reminds us that even small gifts have eternal value. Gratitude grows when we focus on the abundance of what God has given rather than on what we lack. You ever think of that? Thank for the abundance, not what we lack. And I'm as guilty as anybody with that. Oh, we need this. I should do this. No, the abundance. So let's talk about counting blessings. It's easy to focus on the big milestones, a promotion at work or healing from illness, which we have a lot of, thank God, or finding answers to prayer. But how often do we thank God for the smaller things, like a sunrise in the morning or a warm word from a friend? Just little things like that. So let's talk about counting blessings. I got lost. I do that all the time. Okay, so Psalm 103:2, I think Becky's going to bring that up. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The psalmist challenges us not to forget anything God has done, big or small. Why? Because every blessing, whether it's as grand as a miracle or as simple as a daily meal, comes from God, and we need to remember that. When we take time to count our blessings, our perspective changes, and I know it has for me. When I do take time to count my blessings, it does change your perspective some. Sometimes it opens up a whole new avenue. Instead of focusing on what's missing, we see God's hand at work in every part of our lives. It becomes clear that His provisions is constant, even in the seasons of difficulty. And I know we've all experienced that. So how do we do this? Some people will keep a gratitude journal, write down three things they're thankful for every day. Speak your gratitude in prayer, naming each blessing one by one. Share with others what God has done for you. It encourages them and reminds them of God's goodness. Counting your blessings is a spiritual practice that shifts your focus from scarcity to abundance. It reminds us that God cares for us in the big things and the small things. Let's make a habit to count on blessings and praise God for every single one of them. And if we can get in that habit, I know a lot of us will be a lot happier. But it's tough, isn't it? It really is. I brought this up for a reason, too. There. Speaking of counting your blessings, and in this time of Thanksgiving, I would like to point out some of the things, well, not a lot of things, but things that I'm thankful for, and we're all thankful for the same things. I'm thankful for my family. In fact, I'm fortunate that one, two, three of my siblings are sitting back there. I'm four. We're only missing one, right? Oh, good. So it's good to see them all sitting back there, and I'm very thankful for them and their wives, too. I love my in-laws. So, but we've been coming to this church since 1969. I know most of you weren't even allowed alive in 1969. Sandy was, because she was here. I was. Glenn, Jeff, yeah, Lynn, nip and tuck, but was here. But we came to this church, like I say, a long, long time ago, and we have never left it. This is our home. This is God's home. And I'm very thankful for this place. I'm very thankful for every one of you. This place is special. Sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes we're in a pickle. Sometimes we're like, how did that happen? But we're still special. And there's things like JTB coming up. I'm so thankful that we brought that back. That is just a huge, I get talked to more in the community about that than anything else. That, oh gosh, we love that. We love that. And I'm so glad that we brought that back. And I'm thankful that we can bring it back because we're not as big as we used to be. We used to be, you know, up around 350 attenders on a Sunday. And we're not that big anymore. And it still takes about 110 people a night to make it work. So, gosh, I'm thankful for every one of you that help out. And we brought that back. Our funeral ministry, I'm very thankful for. What a ministry that is. And that's the second thing I hear more in our community wherever I go is, my gosh, how many funerals do you guys do? Wow, that seems like somebody doesn't have a place, you have it. Yeah, that's us. That's what we do. But this funeral ministry is huge. And there are a lot of people, and I've been just kind of watching, not that I know them all personally, but just kind of watching people during our funerals and thinking, I'm sure this is the first time they've been in church in a long time. I don't think they've ever been in church. I don't think, you know, and I'm not being judgmental, but I'm thinking to myself, gosh, Lord, you sent us all these people. They're sitting right here in front of us. And there's one thing that that we do tell people in our, when we sit down with them before we do a funeral, and I happen to be sitting in with the last one we did with Carissa and Corey. And Dennis, as we were getting done, he says, whoop, I got to tell you one more thing. We're going to talk about Jesus. And the smile on those two faces, I went, whoa, that was powerful. I would think sometimes it maybe frown or but no, when he said we're going to talk about Jesus, they were good. They were all for it. And there were a lot of people here that needed to hear that word, and Dennis did a great, I already said that, but he did a great job with that. Many of our other ministries I'm so thankful for. We're crawling our way back into the game, if you know what I mean. We were down and out, man. We didn't have, a lot of times, I don't think we had 20 people. And I'm one to admit to you that I wasn't one of them. I stayed home, and that might have been a mistake. But anyway, we're climbing our way back into the game. And our many ministries are so cool. Our men's ministry, our women's ministry, our women's groups, children ministry that we brought back with Renee, Bible school. What a blessing that was this summer. We had Bible school. I know my 1969 brethren remember Bible school well. They used to pick big van, go all over the country here and pick you up. What was that guy's name that drove that bus? Ralph Strichter was the bus driver. And Ralph sang to us the whole time. And Ralph couldn't sing a lick. But Ralph's heart was with the Lord. And he would pick us up every day, that would go on for a week, and take us to Bible school and then bring us home. And I'm so happy to see that come back. That reaches so many people, and it will. We just got to hang in there. It will reach. Yes. Our Sunday night prayer time, Tommy's not here today, but that's been a great ministry also. Our funeral, I said our funerals, but our funeral dinners are a great ministry. And I want to name them all. I don't know if I missed any. If I did, I apologize. But we're going in the right direction. And we have to keep our head to the grindstone, prayers, and we'll get there. We'll get to where we need to be. There's a reason I brought this. First Thessalonians 5:18. I think Becky Hutch, she's faster than I am. Says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. How much more simple can it be than that? That that's God's will for us. And I'm going to close this. Again, this is a little short, I know, but I want to make sure that Bruce had ample time because that's a very important ministry. But I've said this and said this and said this, but guess what? I'm going to say it one more time. God is not done with Stuttsville Chapel yet. And we are going to get to where we need to be. We're still working on the pastor issue. We have a lot of things that we need to work on. But what we need more than anything are soldiers. We need people to get involved, to help. It's a blessing. I know it's a pain in the neck. Oh, gosh, it's 10 o'clock. I don't want to go up to a funeral. Who wants to go to a funeral? Yeah, but we need help. When you usher, I usher. That's my job with myself, Glenn. Rusty, I think, is here. Yep, he's an usher. It's so cool to see all these people and get a chance to talk to them. Some people I haven't seen in forever. Some people I don't even recognize. One had to, for the last few, had to introduce themselves, which I felt like a heel. But but get involved. Working in the kitchen for the funeral dinner with Marsha's crew. The fun that's in there, they're all bubbly, laughing most of the time. Unless I come and tell them that the funeral's over in 2 minutes and they're ready for food in 20. That didn't go over very well, didn't it, Marsha? So in closing, again, I want to reiterate, we're on the right path. We're very thankful for where we're at, but I don't want to stay where we're at. We need to build. We need to go next step, next step, next step. And like I say, what it takes is the good Lord's leading and soldiers. So with that, one thing good about a small crowd today, that I could take this sermon and use it again because most people didn't hear it. Thank you.